will serve to that end. We're talking this morning about a good king ruined by success. The first five verses talks about the good part of his life and a few other verses also. But then there are some other verses in this chapter that talks about him giving in to a thing called pride. And because of that, his life was ruined. But he had a good beginning. Had great success. But then his life was ruined. How often it is for us this morning that we have seen or have known someone whose life had a good beginning. And it continued onward for a while, but then something happened along the way, and it went downhill. Well, this is what happened, as I've said, to this king in our text this morning. From the beginning of King Uzziah's kingship or reign, God blessed him to have great success. And it was because at the beginning of his reign, as the Bible says, he did that which was right in the sight of God. But for some reason, this king allowed this success to master him. And he was overcome with pride. And because of that, God punished him severely. The story has some similarities to the reign of his father in chapter 25. There are some valuable truths from this story that we need to observe this morning that will help us, as I've said, in our walk with the Lord. Let's look at some of these things in the story of this king by the name of Uzziah. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse number 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. One thing that we can gather from this story is that he was called to duty at a young age. God can use people that are young. A familiar scripture we're familiar with, I'm sure, is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In verse number 1, where the wise man said, "Remember now thou Creator in the days of thy youth." God is interested in young folks. He's interested in young folks remembering him, having a relationship with him, serving him acceptably. Josiah was used by God. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, we find that he was 8 years old when he began to reign. A very young man, a boy, 8 years old. But yet God used him, and he reigned in a magnificent way. And even many people like to point to Jesus, who was 12 years old, when he said to his parents when they found him after leaving him in Jerusalem. They went back and eventually found him. And he said in verse 49 of chapter 2 of the book of Luke, he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business?" Young man, Timothy, even though There's been some discussion about his age, but he was not a teenager. He was a grown man, but he was still considered young. It's been suggested that he was somewhere between 20 and 30 years of age, but he was a young man. Paul said to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Let no man despise thy youth." I'm sharing all of these scriptures to say again that God uses and can use and want to use young people. But the important thing about the young people that have a relationship with God is that God wants the young person's life to be clean, to have a clean life. I didn't say sinless. None of us have a sinless life. But he wants the young people, as well as the old, of course, to have a clean life. And so David would say this in Psalms 119 and verse number 9. David would say, "Wherewithal," or how? "Wherewithal," he says, "shall a young man cleanse his way?" And then he gives the answer, and he says, "By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." That's how you and I, young and old, that's how we cleanse our way, by taking heed to the word of God. And this is what the 16-year-old king Uzziah did at the beginning of his reign. He took heed to God's word. He did that which was right in the sight of God. So God can use young people. But those of us who are older and who have influence on the young people, and especially who have children, we need to start teaching them early in life to develop the right relationship with God. Moses said to the people of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Basically, he's saying, teach them all the time. We need to be always teaching our children and those that we have influence. Goes on to say, "Then thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Moses, God was concerned about his way, his will being impressed upon the children. But also, we need to model the way of God to our children in our own lives. That's why he said, these words in verse number 6, "These words that I command thee," he says, "shall be in thine heart." Don't try to impart them somewhere else if you don't have them in your heart. "These words shall be in thine heart." We first need to get right and do right and live right ourselves, and then impart that righteous living to our children. But God is concerned about the young people. So this young king, Uzziah, 16 years old, became king of God's people, the kingdom of Judah. But then another thing that we can mention and notice in the story, verses 4 and 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the Bible says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." He did that which was right. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yes. He began his reign by doing the right thing in the sight of the Lord. And by doing the right thing in the sight of the Lord, that meant that he adhered to the teaching of the Lord. You and I can't do the right thing and adhere to somebody else's teaching. We've got to adhere to the teaching of the Lord. That's why it's so important, again, to have these things that God imparts to us in his holy book in our hearts, so that we can do the right thing. We don't know how to do right by ourselves. We need God to tell us what is right. So then, Uzziah, the Bible says, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then notice what else the Bible says. Drop down to verse number 5. The Bible says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And then notice this. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God was on his side. God blessed him and caused him and made him to prosper. But he did that because he did that which was right in his sight. And that's exactly what the Lord wants from all of us. He wants us to obey him and to do what is right in his sight. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, a familiar story of us. Saul had been sent off on a mission to destroy all the Amalekites, everything, all their beasts, all their cattle, everything. But yet he saved the king alive and he brought back some animals. Then the prophet of God, Samuel, confronted him about this. And he gave him some lame excuse about the people. But then Samuel said to him in verse number 22, he said, Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams. God wants us to obey him. When he tells us what he wants us to do, he wants us to do just that. Did God want sacrifice? Yes, he wanted sacrifice, but not in that occasion. He wanted him to destroy everybody and everything. But he didn't obey him. He didn't do that which was right in the sight of God. That's my point. We need to do what is right in the sight of God. And God will be with us when we do that which is right. He was with Uzziah, King Uzziah. He was with him. He made him to prosper. He was on his side. He had God's favor upon him when he did that which was right. God blessed him to prosper. And isn't that what the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1? Blessed is the man that walketh, the Bible says, not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate day and night. Verse number 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The psalmist is talking about somebody that's doing that which is right in the sight of God. And when we do that which is right in the sight of God, God will cause us to prosper. He will cause us to be blessed. God blessed him to prosper. And you know, that's the promise that was made to Joshua. When Joshua had taken over the reign of leading God's people, in Joshua chapter 1, in verse number 8 and 9, he said this to Joshua. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt what? Make thy way prosperous. You will have success if you meditate and if you observe, or in other words, if you do what's right, if you do what I tell you to do, you will have great success. You will be prosperous. and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. And as long as King Uzziah was doing that which was right in the sight of God, God was with him. He was with him. And then if you continue to read verse number 6 and continue on down to about verse number 15, you see that God was continually blessing this king. He went out to battles, and God gave him victories over battles, and he amassed a great army, had over 300,000 soldiers, and he was able to build towers in Jerusalem and towers in the desert, and he built cities in the Philistines, and he was a successful man. But then his life took a downturn. And in verse number 16, the Bible says, but when he was strong, or when he was powerful, when he had amassed, I should say, all of this success, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Did you hear that? After he had become a successful king and had gotten all of this that God had blessed him with, the Bible says he was lifted up to his own destruction. And because of that, he took matters in his own hands. And the Bible says, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. I want to tell you this morning that pride is a dangerous thing. You see, pride causes us to look to ourselves rather than God. Pride will cause us to say, I am somebody, not realizing that it's God that makes us somebody. He had all that success, but it wasn't him that won those battles. It was God. It wasn't him that built the towers. It was God. It wasn't him that built the cities in the Philistine, among the Philistines. It was God that was blessing him to do all that. But he thought, evidently, that it's me. His heart was lifted up with pride. He stopped looking at God and began to look at himself. And I tell us this morning, again, we need to be careful, because God knew mankind, and he knows mankind. And when his children were going into the land of promise, he said this in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11 beginning, he says, beware, be on guard, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And he goes on and says in the next verse, lest, or unless, in English, in our English talking today, it means unless, when thou hast eaten and art full, when you have had great success. Basically, this is what it's talking about. When thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Do you see King Uzziah in this picture here? And then verse 14 says, when all of this happened to you, God said, you beware. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. The very thing happened to King Uzziah that God was talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 8. When all of these wonderful things were happening, God was blessing him while he was obeying God, while he was seeking the Lord, while he was doing God's will. God blessed him with all of his favor, and he prospered greatly. But his heart was lifted up, the Bible says, to his own destruction. Pride is a bad thing. And because of that, he forgot about God and he started doing things of his own will, of his own accord. And the first thing he did, the Bible says that he went into the temple to burn incense upon the altar. He was going into the temple to worship. You see, burning incense was an act of worship. But that wasn't his place to do that. Only the priests could do that. He was not a priest. So he couldn't do that. He went into the temple to worship, to burn incense. And the priests knew that he was out of his place. And they confronted him about that. Listen to what the scripture says. The scripture says, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests. That's 80 plus one. Azariah, the priest, and 80. 80 is 80. 81 priests went in and confronted him. Bible says in verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary. For thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. In other words, you're doing something, Uzziah, that you ain't supposed to do. You are trespassing against the Lord. You're not a priest. You have no business doing this. In Old Testament times, again, only priests had that authority. But I'm thankful even in New Testament times, all of us got that authority. Because all of us are priests. Read Revelations chapter 1 and verse number 5 and 6. He has made us after he said we were washed by his blood, that he has made us kings and priests. So we're all priests. So all of us now, we can worship. But let me take that just a little bit further. He was doing something in the worship that he wasn't supposed to do. That happens even right now, even though all of us are priests. Some of God's priests today are doing things in worship that they ain't supposed to do. We need to make sure that we keep our worship pure, do what God asks us to do in the worship and not transgress against the Lord and not come in and say that, oh, you don't know what the Lord has done for me, and so I got to do this and I got to do that. God has prescribed a plan and he has structured his worship, and we need to carry out his worship the way he has structured it, just like he structured it in the Old Testament. Only the priests were the one to offer that sacrifice of incense. That was God's structure of worship. God has a structure of worship today. And we need to keep the worship like God wants it to be. Do not defile the worship. But getting back to the story, he transgressed. In other words, he sinned. And it all came because of pride. He was lifted up with pride. And do you not know that that's one thing that God hates? He hates pride. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Bible says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. You know that word abomination means God just can't stand it. He despises it. He just can't stand it. They are an abomination unto him. And would you not know the very first thing that he mentions in those seven things that are abomination is a proud look. Why? Because God resisteth the proud. He resisteth, 1 Peter 5 says, he resisteth the proud. He's against the proud. So he hates a proud look. No wonder the wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18, he says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So King Uzziah, life took a downturn when he was lifted up with pride. And because of that, God punished him. Look at what the Bible says, beginning at verse number 19, chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles. Then Uzziah was wroth. That is, after the priest told him to get out of here, you've trespassed. He got mad. After he was confronted by the priest, he got mad. I want to tell us this morning, when somebody confront us about something that's wrong in our lives, don't get mad. We ought to be glad that somebody would have enough love in their heart to confront us about something that's wrong in our lives. And when I talk about confronting, I'm not talking about jumping on, fussing, and that, but I'm talking about people who really love us because they care about us. They're going to confront us in the right way. But even then, sometimes folks will get mad. But getting mad ain't going to change the situation. If you're in your sin, you're still going to be in your sin. Remind me of another leper. Y'all remember him? By the name of Laman. Naaman. In 2 Kings chapter 5. Because, again, he thought God was going to heal him in a certain way, but it wasn't the way that he thought it was going to be. The Bible says he got mad. He went away in a rage, but he was still a leper. Still had the problem. So we can get mad and we can jump up and turn flips and do all kinds of things when somebody lovingly confronts us about something that's wrong in our lives. If we don't change our lives, we're still going to be wrong. So he got mad. King Uzziah got mad. I would suppose that because he was the king and he was lifted up with pride, he figured these fellows didn't have no reason to come and confront him. I'm the king. Oh, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to be humble. Most all the time, I should say, we need to be humble. But while he was mad, the Bible says, going back to the scripture, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, look what happened. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was, what the Bible says, leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah, the Bible says, being a leper, he was a leper until the day that he died. He could have changed. God could have cleansed him of that leprosy. But because he would not change, he was a leper, the Bible says, until the day of his death. And he dwelt in a several house. And that word several there means an isolated house or a separate house. That was the law, if you will, concerning lepers. They were to live apart and alone from the general society. So he had to live in an isolated house, in a separate house, alone until he died. Because he was a leper. Because he transgressed. And he would not change his way. This could have been avoided if he had only remained humble. But because he let pride get the best of him, that's what happened to him. We are commanded, brothers and sisters, this morning to be humble. I mentioned this briefly already, but let's look at the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Notice what he says. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder or to the older. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Do you want God to resist you? Do I want God to resist me? Do I want him to give me grace? Well, I need his grace because I can't make it without his grace, as you've already alluded to when we were singing that song. We need God's grace. So I don't need God to resist me. I need God to lavishly, continuously pour out his grace upon me. Therefore, I must remain humble if I want to receive his grace. But because King Uzziah was lifted up in pride, God punished him. You see, brothers and sisters, as I close this morning, disobedience to God will always bring punishment. But God gives us a chance to escape the worst punishment in our lives that we can ever have, and that is to be lost in our sins through repentance. But when we refuse to repent, the only thing left for God to do is to punish us. Going back to the people of God in Moses' day, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19 and 20, notice what he says, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall what? Surely perish." In other words, you're going to be punished. You will surely perish. But verse number 20 says this, "As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish." Why? Because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Why was Uzziah punished? Because he wouldn't be obedient to the word of the Lord. Started out good. Had great success. God was blessing him all along the way. But then his success got the best of him. And his heart was lifted up with pride. And because of that, he went against the will of God. When our hearts are lifted up with pride, we start looking to ourselves and not to God. I want to encourage us this morning to always look to God and obey his will. And don't allow pride. The devil wants us to feel so good about ourselves until we believe that we can just chart our own course. And that's what happened to Uzziah. He was a king. Started out a young person, 16 years old. Started out good. Did that which was right in the sight of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him, the Bible said, to prosper. But then down the road, his heart was lifted up with pride. Let's always be an humble people. God can only use us if we're humble. He can't use us if we're lifted up with pride, because that's one of the things he hates. He despises. He detests it. He can't stand it. So let's not be a proudful people. Let's be an humble people. The song says, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Do you want to lift yourself up, or do you want God to lift you up? Because if we lift ourselves up, guess what happens? We're going to be just like Humpty Dumpty. The young folks probably don't know anything about Humpty Dumpty that sit on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a what? Great fall. We lift ourselves up.
we're going to have a great fall. And if we leave this life in that condition, we would have fallen all the way into hell. Please don't do that. If there's anyone here this morning who has not obeyed the Lord for the first time, I'm talking about, have not submitted your will to His will, I want to encourage you this morning to do just that. Become His child by obeying the gospel. Hear and believe the gospel, the Bible says, Acts 15:7. Hear how God loved you and how God gave His Son to die for you and how He did die and how He was buried in the heart of the earth and how He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Believe in that gospel. So much so until it will cause you to turn or repent from your sins. You notice Uzziah, he didn't repent. Nowhere in that Scripture indicates why he was ever sorry that he offered that incense, or attempted to burn it. Didn't even get a chance to do it. They got him out of there before he could do it. Nowhere in there is indicative of the fact that he attempted to repent. But if you and I are going to please God, we're going to have to repent from our sins. So hear and believe the gospel and repent of your past sins, because the Bible says there's none righteous. So you need to turn from your sins. Turn to that which is right. And then make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. After doing that, then go down into a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. You then would be one of those priests that I've talked about in New Testament times. But continue to keep the worship pure. Continue to keep your life pure and clean by living according to the will of God. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Do you need to come this morning then and submit your will to the will of God? Become a member of the New Testament church, the one you can read about in the New Testament, the one that Jesus is coming back for. Why not come this morning? If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow pride's knocking at your door, you've decided that you're going to do things your way. You're not going to follow the Lord. You're going to do what you want to do. Turn away from that kind of thinking and go back to seeking and following the Lord. If you've erred in some way, repent of that error. Come back to the Lord before it's everlasting and eternally too late. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, we're begging you to come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come. Take of the waters of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Would you come this morning? Right now, while we stand, while we sing.
Going down from the